Well, as we begin this season of Lent, one of the things we're going to do today is partake in communion here in a little bit. So I'm going to try to keep things a little briefer this morning. So I'm thinking maybe this thing is left here because afterwards you might be saying that was awesome, or what he said was complete mystery. So no, but what a beautiful season. And truly, yes, we are looking at the death of Jesus, but in my heart, in my mind, it's a celebration. And it's a celebration because it's truly what brought us as individuals back closer to God and got sin out of the way. And I'm going to start by reading Genesis 9, 8 through 17 this morning. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you. Every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you, and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all of life." Now there is no doubt. There is no doubt that was a catastrophic event. And it was something that I don't even think we can wrap our heads around completely. So it leads a lot to the mystery side of God. And I can't even stand here and begin to try to explain why God might have done this. But if we look at it from a side of grace, because God is all-powerful and awesome, and he could have chosen to just completely wipe humanity off the earth, because humanity has gotten to the point where they completely turned their back on God. Noah and a few of his sons really was the little bit left that God had. And he wanted to bring people back closer to him as humanity, bring him back. Basically, God was giving humanity a do-over. Let's do this again. I remember as a kid playing sports, we'd do this often, you know, when you didn't hit the ball as far as you wanted to, you'd call do-over and you get to do it over again. And my cousin was a pretty decent baseball player. And when his high school, he was a catcher and he was playing a game and the throw came to the plate and he caught the ball and was going to tag the kid out, and the umpire missed it. Didn't see what happened, didn't know which call to make. So instead of making the wrong call, the umpire in a high school baseball game called do-over. I don't know if that's ever happened before, or if that's appropriate or not, but so they went back to where they were and they did it over. And the one thing I've learned about do-overs are the second time is never exactly like the first time. So we get the opportunity to do it right, to do it better, to do it different. But there also comes a point when we don't get a do-over. My grandfather shared this story, and it was his uncle. And I don't remember all the details. Perhaps I should have looked them up and asked him. But his uncle lived with, I think it was his two sisters. And the one day before he went to work, they got in a huge argument. And I mean, things were said, from what I hear, that were pretty darn nasty. And he goes to work, and he never came home. That day at work, he died from a heart attack. And so those two ladies lived the rest of their life knowing that the last things they said to him were not nice, were nasty. And they lived they lived the rest of their life with that. And you could tell, they struggled with that. We don't always get a do-over. We don't always in life get to go back and make things right. But fortunately, we serve a God that loves us and that thinks, that knows that because of that love, that he needs to give his people do-overs. And after the flood, God promised never to do that again, never to wipe the earth out again with a great flood. And like I said a little bit ago, looking at it from a side of grace, I believe, or from the side, yeah, from the grace perspective, that the flood was a redemption to bring people back. And 1 Peter 3:18 through 22, I'm going to read in a second. And Peter compares the flood with baptism and talking about the sacrifice Christ made for us as individuals to give us as individuals the opportunity for a do-over. So 1 Peter 3:18 through 22. And I will admit, in this passage as we're looking at today, I think there is so much mystery that we'd never begin to understand at all. But we need to read what Peter says here. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into the heavens and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and power in submission to him. Now, when we're talking about getting one more chance or one more time to do things over, Christ sacrificing his life on the cross for us is that ultimate do-over opportunity. We get to do things again for the things in our past that we're not so happy with, for lying, cheating, stealing, murder. This world, man, just watch the news. You see all the things that as humans, we need opportunities, or we need the opportunity for a do-over, to try to do life one more time, because we have a lot of stuff in our past. We have a lot of stuff that we need forgiveness that has really messed us up. But the thing we need to understand, and I know a lot of us do, but I'm going to go back to the basics here, that Jesus lived a life for us that was completely sinless. He faced all the temptations we do and all the things in life that we face. But he lived a sinless life and died on the cross because of our sins. The sins we commit today, Jesus died for. And you can look at it sort of figuratively that our sins were the nails that had held him to the cross. But the beauty of it is he defeated death. And he rose. And that's what we celebrate. The fact that he died with our sins with him and left them there. And that's exactly what happens when we accept Christ into our heart. Our sins are forgiven and left there. And God does not remember them no longer. Now, we still live with the consequences often of those sins. But what it really boils down to is God remembers them no more. And we can live a life knowing that our salvation is with Christ. Now, if we get back to 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter compares the great flood with sort of a baptism of the earth and how this baptism of the earth saved eight people, Noah and his sons, and eight people in all. And so what I thought of as I studied this is we need to look at baptism a little bit as to what it is or what it symbolizes. And of course, for us here in this church, our belief is that it's a believer's baptism, that we get to choose to have Jesus in our heart, and that's what we are baptized about. We've chosen Christ, and it's not something that as a young child that people say that we have to be baptized. It's something as adults that we choose in our free will to be baptized because we've chosen to accept Christ in our heart. Baptism is an outward sign that you've given your heart to Christ, that you've prayed that prayer, that you've been forgiven for your sins. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a sign that we've repented of our sins, that we've been washed clean, and we've received forgiveness for our sins. We've renounced evil and have decided to live a life for Christ. And so it's a sign that we've given our lives to God. We've fully committed to Him. And so I'm sitting here thinking today, or standing here, have you done that? And if so, are you at the point where you need to recommit your life to Christ? For things you may have done intentionally or unintentionally, what's holding you back from giving your life to Christ or from recommitting it? Yes, God gives us do-overs, but we never know how many do-overs we're going to get. And sooner or later, we're not going to get the opportunity for a do-over again. And we need to make sure our heart's right when that happens. And so if you haven't done that, or if you have and need to recommit, that's fine. When you get it, when all you have to do is simply pray. Pray for God to enter into your heart and to lead your life and forgive the sins that you've committed. And He'll do that because He loves us. He loves us. I'm going to hand out something now. And I want you each to take one. Young, old, everybody. Take one and pass them on. And I want you to carry it with you as we go through this season of Lent. Now, of course, if you can't take them to school or whatever, don't get in trouble over it. But I want you to remember, keep it in your pocket, and anytime you stick your hand in there, it's just a simple little nail. But I want you to remember that's the reason Christ was on the cross, was because our sins were the nails that held Him there. Now, I'm not doing this to bring up so you're reminded of your sins in the past, because they need to stay there in the past. But I want you to carry it, and when you reach in your pocket and you feel it or you see it, that you're reminded that you've committed your life to Christ and that you're going to live and follow and let Him lead for the rest of your life. And I want you to carry it with you, but I also want you to remember Easter Sunday to try to make sure you bring it with you here, because we're going to do something at the end of this Lent season with these nails. We've all messed up in our lives. We've all done things that we regret. But fortunately, Christ has given us the opportunity for a do-over. After we pray here, we're going to serve communion. And while we're praying, if your heart is not right, because part of taking communion is having your heart right with Christ, that there's no sin getting in the way, that you've asked for forgiveness for things you've done. So while we pray, take that opportunity to get things right with God. Let's pray. Father God, Lord God, thank You. Thank you for the countless do-overs you've given us in life. And Lord, I pray that through your Spirit and your guidance that we will get it right. That Christ didn't die in vain for our lives, Lord. And Father, as we go through this Lenten season, I pray that as we touch the nails in our pocket, as we see them, that we can be reminded of the sacrifice Jesus made on that cross and what that truly represents, Lord, the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'd ask the elders to come forward now.